Here it is!
From deep inside your radio.
Back in London, ladies and gentlemen, from a week in Oxford. Not Mississippi. The Faulkner fans can rest easy. No, and so I don't really mean Oxford. I mean Oxford, if you get what I mean. Do you? Yeah. Have I nailed it down? The university town in England, you know, famous for the smart people. Well, here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, it is a architecturally awe-inspiring place. All the buildings have spires on top of them, you know? I guess they didn't know about flat roofs in those days. But it is, as I say, at least momentarily awe-inspiring until I think about perhaps the truest thing that's said about academic life, which is the battles are so fierce because the stakes are so low. But I was in Oxford, and as I say, you know, it's a university town. It's supposedly full of some of the smartest people on the planet. That could be intimidating. That could be a bit daunting. Here's the good news, ladies and gentlemen. They may be among the smartest people on the planet by day. But once the sun goes down, a lot of them are drunk. And they're just as dumb and loud as any other drunks on the planet. That is the good news. Hello, welcome to the show.
I got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door. I got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door. And if she needs me bad, I can find about two or three more. One through the basement, two down the hall. When the going gets tough, I got a hole in the wall. I got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door. If she needs me bad, I can find about two or three more. I can come through the chimney like Santa Claus. Go through the window and it ain't out. Got a lot of good ways I don't want you to know. I even got a hole through the bedroom floor. I got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door. And if she needs me bad, I can find about two or three more.
One, two, many more.
I to my lovely baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
To my lovely baby star, to my sweet,
sweet, my lovely baby star,
to my lovely baby star, and it's one, two, many more. Why,
to my lovely baby star, to my lovely baby star,
to my lovely baby star, why,
to my lovely baby star,
to my lovely baby star, and it's one, two, many more.
Closet behind her clothes, a way through the attic that no one knows. I got a master key to fit any lock, a hidden door behind grandfather's clock. I got 29 ways to make it to my baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
And if she needs me bad, I can find about two or three more.
One, two, many more.
To my lovely baby's door.
To my lovely baby's door.
To my lovely baby star, to my sweet,
my lovely baby star,
to my lovely baby star, one, two, many more. Why,
to my lovely baby star,
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 to
sweet, sweet, lovely baby star. And it's one too many more.
From London, England, home of the LIBOR scandal. Did you hear about that? I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this edition of the show. Yes, the putting the lie back in LIBOR. For nearly 5 years, Britain's ICAP operation had brokers who were so brazen about rigging benchmark interest rates around the world that they demanded bribes to keep the scheme going in emails and internet chat rooms, don't you know? At one point, a broker at ICAP asked a senior yen trader, quote, how about some form of performance bonus per quarter from your bonus pool to me for the LIBOR service, unquote. Those are detailed in the Commodity Futures Trading Commission enforcement order this week that names ICAP as a culprit in manipulating the global interest rate known as LIBOR. That's an interest rate used as the basis, the benchmark for interest rates paid by people around the world in various transactions, including your mortgages. Global authorities have uncovered a sweeping conspiracy to rig the LIBOR rate. Trillions of dollars involved. Venerable banks or beads, such as UBS and Barclays, have been fingered. Not fisted, but just fingered in the scheme. Regulators suspect involves even more well-known institutions. But ICAP has been busted and is paying the grand total of $87 million. Company admits several of its brokers schemed to manipulate rates, either keeping them artificially high or low to increase profits. Well, there's your reason right there. Best reason in the world. Yes, once again, a chump change fine for either gaining or losing somebody trillions of dollars. I deeply regret and strongly condemn the actions of the brokers, according to Chief Executive Michael Spencer. This has been a difficult episode for this company, but one we can begin to move on from. Oh, the Brits have adopted American usage. Move on. Sure. I believe other parts of the world, they call that sweep that under the rug. The company has spent more than $27 million to improve its compliance controls and train its brokers. Don't use email next time. No senior managers were involved in the scheme, says Spencer. Regulators didn't find any evidence of the company deliberately engaging in misconduct. So that would be different from, let's say, J.P. Morgan Chase. Oh, no, none of them were prosecuted either. Well, tales of accountability just go on and on. For example,
ladies and gentlemen, we are proud to present Let Us Try, a ballad of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers.
Let us try to stem the tide, to beautify our countryside. We offer you our hand. Let us try.
News of the United States Army Corps of Engineers, ladies and gentlemen. Fish that live near around just above Bonneville Dam, that's in our Pacific Northwest, are so chock full of contaminants. Health authorities this week advised the public not to eat them at all. Don't eat those fish. They also urged the public to limit the consumption of so-called resident fish, fish that live year-round in that area, in a 150-mile stretch upstream from the dam. It doesn't affect migratory fish such as salmon. Tests were done on Columbia River fish collected a couple years ago under the auspices of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Oregon Public Health got the results this past May, then performed extensive analysis, according to OregonLive.com. The results were surprising. The threshold for a health advisory for polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs, to you and me, is 0.047 parts per million. What we saw in the fish, 183 parts per million. That's higher than I've ever seen, says Oregon's public health toxicologist. Fish further upstream were contaminated with mercury, 0.77 parts per million. The advisory is especially aimed at women of childbearing age. What isn't? The contaminants that interfere with brain development, causing learning disabilities, and behavioral problems. The test results primarily affect tribes of Native Americans that depend on the Columbia River for food, according to the toxicologist. It's alarming and extremely disappointing to the tribal leadership and the fishing community, says the executive director of the Intertribal Fish Commission. Officials have known about the problem for some time. The PCBs were used as insulating fluid in large-scale electrical components in the dam before they were banned in the 70s. When the components wore out, they were illegally dumped in the river. An employee or employees at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers pushed them off a cliff between the 1960s and 1980s, or at least they tried. The mercury comes from burning coal, even from as far away as Asia. When it lands on the water, it sinks and gets bound in the sediment like PCBs. Bugs that live in the sediment absorb them. They're eaten by small fish and so forth. As I say, officials have known about the problem for some time. In 2000, the Corps sent divers to remove the electrical components, but some of the PCBs had leaked. In 2007, the Corps dredged the area around the island. Next year, they'll blow up the island. And billions in cost overruns and years of delay at a southern Illinois dam project are unacceptable, standing in the way of other vital projects along the nation's marine transportation system, said senators from Missouri and Illinois. And shipping industry leaders have moved to distance themselves from the Army Corps of Engineers' work overseeing the Olmsted Dam project in that area, arguing that the Inland Waterways Users Board had no authority to force a change in dam building methods during the long and troubled project. Instead of building it the usual way, the Corps decided to build it in the wet. Look it up. Let us try to get in the wet. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. And now, ladies and gentlemen, news of the Olympic movement. Produced by Jim Ebersole, Jr. When Tokyo was awarded the 1964 Summer Games, 30-year-old Kohei Jinno discovered that his home and business were on the site of what would become the Olympic Park. He was forced to pack up and resettle in another town for 2 years until the government gave him a replacement home, which was located on the edge of the Olympic Stadium. Now, the Games are coming back for 2020. And the new Olympic Stadium is going to go right where the old one is. Only, it's going to be a lot bigger. And again, in the sights, in the target zone for removal, Jinno's home and tobacco store. I don't want to see the Olympics at all, Jinno told Agence France-Presse. Deep inside, I have a kind of grudge against the Olympics. The government has offered to resettle him, and Jinno is now 79 years old, and he doesn't want to go anywhere else. Probably I may go where you can't set up a tobacco store. He says, that means I will lose my reason for living. Unquote. Deadline Sochi, Russian President Vladimir Putin has admitted there are still some ongoing glitches in preparations for next year's Winter Olympics, like the flooding that's occurred in the Sochi area this week. But he insists that overall the job is on track. Overall, that's a normal thing for such a large project, says Putin. There's nothing out of the ordinary. He just can't lie. We know the time the Olympics start, and we can't slip at all, he added. He says he's going to be dropping in on the host city on a regular basis to keep tabs on the work. And down Rio de Janeiro way, public prosecutors in Brazil have threatened to close Rio de Janeiro's Maracanã Stadium amid fears the venue does not meet minimum safety standards. Prosecutor Glícia Crispim has written to the Brazilian Football Confederation requesting the submission of a new engineering report. In the letter, Crispim said the current report does not meet requirements set by Brazil's sports ministry. The organization has 30 days to provide a satisfactory response. Failure to do so could result in the stadium's closure. No further details were given about the stadium's alleged failings. The demand has cast new doubt over Brazil's ability to successfully host next year's World Cup and the Rio 2016 Olympics. Rio's Engenhão Stadium, which will stage track and field events at the 2016 Olympics, was closed in March after an independent engineering report found the roof was in danger of collapsing. That venue won't reopen until June of next year. Well, they can move it to Sochi. The Olympics. It's a movement. And we all need one. Every day. Ladies and gentlemen, a report this week released by the Xerces Society for Invertebrate Conservation shed some light. We haven't talked about this in a while in this broadcast, on colony collapse disorder, what's happening with the bees. Bye-bye, bees. The spotlight has been moved by this report from the risks neonicotinoids, that's a class of insecticide, posed to bees to the impact of neonicotinoids to invertebrates such as earthworms or lady beetles. Lord and lady beetle will be here in a moment, but first, Beyond the Birds and the Bees provides a comprehensive review of published articles and pulls together the growing body of research that demonstrates risks from neonicotinoids to these beneficial insects, particularly in agricultural systems, but also in urban and suburban ornamental landscapes. Although neonicotinoids have been promoted as safer for beneficial insects than older insecticides, the balance of evidence, says this report, suggests neonicotinoids are generally harmful to a variety of beneficial insects. Widespread preemptive application of these or any pesticide represents a fundamental shift away from so-called integrated pest management, since chemicals are frequently applied before pest damage has occurred and often in the absence of any current pest abundance data. Use of neonicotinoids seed treatments on annual field crops has increased dramatically in the last decade, yet these treatments may not consistently result in yield benefits, though neonicotinoid seed treatments may be unnecessary or more expensive than other treatments in some circumstances. It's challenging for farmers to obtain non-organic field crop seed that is not treated with neonicotinoids. Well, you could go organic. Neonicotinoid resistance has been documented in a number of pests. The environmental persistence of neonicotinoids, such as, I'm not even going to try to pronounce those, coupled with their widespread use, can facilitate resistance. And although there's been less research on the impact of these insecticides to soil organisms, most studies to date have found that neonicotinoids may have negative effects on earthworms and other soil invertebrates. Beetles and wasps play critical roles in healthy, functioning ecosystems. Although I'll kill a wasp if I get a chance, don't cross me with those wasps. Neonicotinoids are now the most widely used group of insecticides in the world. Their use in the U.S. has been steadily increasing since their initial registration in the mid-90s. Don't tell the bees. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to sound like this is from some dystopian piece of fiction, but it's from The Guardian in London, right here. The armed forces should seek to make British involvement in future wars more palatable to the public by reducing the public profile of repatriation ceremonies for casualties. That's according to a Ministry of Defense unit that formulates strategy for the British government. Other suggestions made by the MOD think tank in a discussion paper examining how to assuage casualty-averse public opinion, including the greater use of mercenaries and unmanned vehicles, as well as special forces. The document, written last year and obtained by The Guardian under the Freedom of Information Act, discusses how public reaction to casualties can be influenced and recommends that the armed forces should have a, quote, clear and constant information campaign in order to influence the major areas of press and public opinion, unquote. It says that to support such a campaign, the Defense Ministry should consider a number of steps, one of which would be to reduce the profile of the repatriation ceremonies, an apparent reference to the processions of hearses carrying coffins draped in the flag that were driven through towns near bases where bodies were brought back. The paper by the Ministry of Defense's Development Concepts and Doctrine Center, the DCDC, recommends taking steps to reduce public sensitivity to the penalties inherent in military ops. It says the ministry should inculcate an attitude that service may involve sacrifice. The paper amounts to what could be considered an analysis of why the British public and MPs, members of Parliament, are so reluctant to support the attack on Syria. It also says any conflict should be clearly explained to the public. That would help. The 8-page paper argues the military may have come to wrongly believe the public, and as a result, the government has become more risk-averse on the basis of recent campaigns in Afghanistan and Iraq. Quote, however, this assertion is based on recent post-2000 experience, and we're in danger of learning false lessons concerning the public's attitude toward military operations, says the paper, which has no named author. Author. Quote, historically, once the public are convinced they have a stake in the conflict, they're prepared to endorse military risks and will accept casualties. Neither the action in Iraq nor the operations in Afghanistan have enjoyed public support, they point out. The public have become better informed and opponents more sophisticated in the exploitation of the sources of information, with the net result that convincing the nation of the need to run military risks has become more difficult, but no less essential. Noting the growth of private security companies has proceeded at a spectacular rate during the past 10 years, the paper adds neither the media nor the public in the West appear to identify with contractors in the way that they do with their military personnel. Thus, casualties from within the contractorized force are more acceptable in pursuit of military ends than those from among our own forces. Unquote. Investing in greater numbers of special forces is also recommended. The paper says the public appear to have a more robust attitude toward special forces losses. The loss of 19 Special Forces soldiers in a single aircraft incident during the Falklands campaign did not arouse any significant comment. How to sell a war. And how to sell fracking like a war. CNBC has reported on an oil industry conference at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Houston a little while back. An industry confab, panel discussions, light refreshments, and exchange of ideas. Things took an unexpected twist, though CNBC obtained audio tapes of the event on which one presenter could be heard recommending his colleagues, well, listen for yourself.
Download the U.S. Army / Marine Corps counterinsurgency manual, because we are dealing with an insurgency. There's a lot of good lessons in there, and coming from a military background, I've found the insight in that extremely remarkable.
Another speaker at this conference on fracking. That's what the subject of matter is, the hydraulic fracking industry. Told attendees that his company has several former PSYOPs specialists on staff working in the Pennsylvania area.
One thing that we've worked a lot on at Range is just getting more proactive in the community. It's not something that we've done before. In other parts of the nation, it makes no sense for us to do that. In other parts of Pennsylvania, for instance, we have several. I think Matt raised the issue of looking to other industries, in this case, the Army and the Marines. We have several former PSYOPs folks that work for us at Range because they're very comfortable in dealing with localized issues and local governments. Really, all they do is spend most of their time helping folks develop local ordinances and things like that, but very much having that understanding of PSYOPs in the Army and in the Middle East has applied very helpfully here for us in Pennsylvania.
You never know when PSYOPs is going to come in handy. Might as well have them on hand. And almost outside the bubble, certainly off of the radar screen of most national media, you're aware, ladies and gentlemen, by now of the mortgage foreclosure, securitized mortgage segment of the financial crisis, the fraudulent basis of it discussed here and elsewhere by, among others, William Black, who was involved in the prosecution of the SNL crisis a couple decades ago when thousands of financial industry executives were prosecuted. A lot of them went to jail. Much like this. Oh, no. And you're probably also aware of, as I mentioned earlier, the LIBOR scandal, where the benchmark interest rate was manipulated by big banks, of all people. I can't figure out how that. And other problems that were or could be laid at the hands of the financial industry, or laid at the feet of them, laid at whatever extremities you like. Now comes a new one, or it comes into more focus, the problem of pensions, and particularly public employee pensions. Now, private employees have for years been told, oh, those pensions that we signed contracts with you about, we're changing the deal. Sanctity of contracts be damned. you don't have the pensions you thought you had. But now it's those particular chickens are coming home to roost for public employees in a big way, brought to real focus by the bankruptcy of Detroit and some cities in California, among other places. And the discussion is focusing on, well, the unfunded pension fund liabilities of these cities. That's the problem. And then we learned through much reporting that a lot of these cities in the mid-2000s were sold sophisticated financial instruments, derivatives, to try to mitigate or hedge against interest rate risk when they borrowed money. These were, you know, swaps and other derivatives, betting on interest rates to protect them in case interest rates went up. Except interest rates went down because of the financial crisis, and they were caught holding the bag for a lot of money, including trying to unwind those deals cost them termination fees. And also now we've learned that a lot of those municipal pension funds, well, a lot of the city governments were borrowing the money that had been deposited into those pension funds to pay for current expenditures during the lush times. That's how lush they were. So now, of course, there's a big hole in the pensions. And so a couple of organizations are leading the fight to reform, i.e. reduce, i.e. maybe end, public employee pensions. We learned this week from a left-leaning web magazine, Salon, that among those organizations is one of the parts of the Pew Charity, P-E-W, a division of the charitable trust known as the Pew Public Sector Retirement Systems Project, in association with a gentleman by the name of John Arnold, who did some of his best work for Enron. We'll be hearing more about this, I'm sure, on public radio shows that receive money from Pew. Ladies and gentlemen, the news this week, of course, dominated in the United States by the wrangle over whether to shut the government down, whether to defund Obamacare. The president involved in two major, the spectacle right now is of major games of chicken being played by the grown-ups all over the place. In one case, whether we were going to conduct military operations against Syria, against the wishes of the Russians and the Chinese. We know how that has come out so far with a UN Security Council resolution that doesn't include the threat of military force. And the other game of chicken being played between the Republicans and Democrats in Washington. Since the first one worked out so well, maybe President Obama would be well advised to ask President Putin to step in on the second one as well. But more about Pew in a moment here on the show. This is Le Show, and we're late in September. We're into autumn. And, of course, right around the corner is a very special time of year for a lot of us, Halloween. And perhaps coincidentally, there was a poll this last couple of weeks by, I believe, the Pew organization. Not Pepe, just Pew, that indicated that now 57% of the American people believe in the existence of the devil. And coincidentally, we have on our newsmaker line today to comment on that and perhaps other things, the man himself, the fallen angel himself, himself, fellow we know as Satan. Satan, welcome back to the show.
Harry, so good to talk to you again. Hello, everybody. This is my time of year. This is my season. I'm excited. Harry, I can't talk too long. My dog walker didn't show up. I have to walk the dogs of hell.
You have to walk just the dogs kidding. Of hell today yourself. Really?
No, I just wanted to open with something light.
Oh, okay. Well, you seem so chipper for the supreme evil one.
I feel fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel fantastic. You know, I took a, I'm just doing a cleanse.
Really?
You know, I'm taking just one of those fruit cleanses. That's
yeah.
Fantastic.
Wow. The devil needs a cleanse.
Yeah, the devil needs a cleanse. And, you know, I feel lighter. I feel I can move. You know, I spend an hour a day. I don't even know this about me, Harry, but I'm a ballet nut, and I have a ballet bar here in hell. And I do about an hour of bar work, B-A-R-R-E.
Got it.
And I know this is radio, but I am wearing a dance belt.
Wow.
Right now. Which is neither here nor there. You can cut that out.
Well, I think it's probably there, but that's just surmise on my part. Now, let me ask you a question, a follow-up, which I'm famous for. When you say you're doing a cleanse, I would have thought that the devil likes to have toxins in his system.
You do, Harry, but you want to shift it up a little bit. You know what I mean? You want to kind of keep yourself interested.
Uh-huh. So you change it up a little bit, variety?
Sure.
Variety is the spice of hell, is that what you're saying?
Of course. I was into the Mediterranean diet for a while.
Yeah.
Maybe Logi.
Logi.
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean you don't enjoy tormenting people as much when you're feeling that way?
Yeah, well, listen, you always enjoy it, but when's it be good to Satan Day? You know what I mean? You have to sort of take care of yourself. You can't just do. You can't just do. You have to sometimes be.
You're saying you can't just do to others. You have to do for yourself.
That's right, Harry. And I wish you'd slow down a little bit. I know you're always with the going and the doing and the charity work. You have that app for overprivileged kids. Is that you?
That's not me, no.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe you should keep going then.
Okay, thank you. But thanks for thinking of me in that context.
Oh, I'm always thinking of you, my friend.
Uh-oh.
Hey, here's a quick question.
Yeah.
I don't want to take you off subject. I keep friending you on Facebook.
Yeah.
Why don't you accept me?
Same reason I don't connect with you on LinkedIn.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can't figure that one out.
Yeah, me neither. I think, is that one of yours? LinkedIn?
No, the old photographs is me. Where I can look like vintage age photographs.
Oh,
I love that.
Really?
I love it.
That's one of your?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to put on a Confederate uniform and take a lot of shots of myself.
Wow. You don't engage in actual Civil War reenactment, though, do you?
No, but as you know, Harry, when I dabbled in the theater as a young devil, and you know, anyone can act, not everyone can reenact, and I think that's something. Well, you're acting right now in a wonderful play, by the way.
Yeah, well, we don't.
I don't. Huh?
No, yeah. We don't need to promote that.
Do you have an angel to bring that into New York or Broadway? And I hate to use that word.
Well, obviously, yeah.
I'm not comfortable with
that. Yeah. No, we don't at this point. We could use.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. All right. But and you're saying that because you wish me ill?
Of course I do, Harry. That's how I roll. You know that. But personally, I just think you're fantastic.
All right,
I love all the things you do. Are you still working in the business?
Or? Yeah, I am. I am still working in the business.
Okay, I can help you with that. But anyway, that's another conversation.
Okay. So, Halloween. Do you have any special plans for Halloween this year? Must be your big day of the year, isn't it?
Oh, it's a huge day for me. You know, Harry, I'm going to just play a little low-key this year. I'll tell you the truth, the Colorado floods have left me from this, totally. So I'm going to be honest. I'm going to just have some close friends over, stay around the house. I'm going to have Adolf Hitler come over, Kim Jong-il.
Yeah.
Some of the cast in the original Chorus Line, who I'm sure you know, wonderful show.
Yeah.
My life coach.
Yeah.
It's a little scrap.
Wait. Satan has a life coach?
Why do you have the tone? Because somehow that's negative.
No, like, I'm just
maybe
saying.
I'd like a little help. Maybe I'm, well, you know, you can always improve.
Yeah.
And my life coach has been fantastic. And it's helping me see, you know, not where I am now, but where I'd like to be in 100 years.
Wow. Where would you like to be in 100 years?
Well, I'm proud of my accomplishments now. You know, I'm a type A.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a type A.
Sure.
And I'm trying not to look back. But, you know, Harry, if you say to me or anybody say to me, particularly you for some reason, I don't know why I said it, but it seemed what horrible, unimaginable pain and suffering that you caused are you most proud of?
Yeah.
You know, it's like a little bit like asking, who's your favorite child, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And by the way, I'd have to answer if you did ask me that. I'd say the amazing Kreskin. Have you seen him recently?
No, he's amazing, right?
He is amazing. You know, at the end of most of his shows, the proprietor of the club will hide his paycheck. and Kreskin will have to find the paycheck somewhere in the theater. And I'll tell you what, you just are so excited. Will you do it? And he always pulls it out and finds it at the end. It's fantastic.
Wow. So now.
Is that off subject?
Yeah. Now, speaking of that, is Ryan Seacrest one of yours?
No. He's just doing great without me. We'll see what happens. Satan out.
Cute.
Maybe I'll use that at the end of the interview. You could cut that, put that at the end of the interview. Makes me look like a callback and just saying you're professional.
Got it. So you might say that at the end of your little Halloween party with Hitler and the cast.
Yeah, Satan out. Yeah. I'm going to go up and put on my shirty robe.
Yeah.
You know, something like that.
Now, we have this image of you from all of the art that has been done, religious art over the years. Do you actually have a tail and horns? Is that?
Yeah, I have a tail and horns, Harry. I do kind of a Donald Trump when I go out.
Yeah.
And I have kind of a special, you know, Frank Sinatra's famous for being very, very well endowed. And that's true. That was something I poured into the pot for Frank years ago. And he had to wear special rubber underpants.
Really?
Because he was so endowed. Yes, you know that?
No.
And I have the same kind of thing for my tail, but only mine's in the back.
Yeah.
You know, imagine that old story, Harry. I don't have time for a quick joke. This
sure.
Is a cute one. You want to make it? You probably want to use it in one of your satires or whatever you do.
Yeah.
A young man says, his friend, how'd you do? You be dating anyone? He goes, no, I can't date anyone. I went to the beach. I tried to meet some girls. Next time you go to the beach, the friend says, put a potato in your underpants. And the guy says, okay. Next week he sees the guy's at the beach. He's getting lucky. Did you meet any girls? He says, no, I didn't. He says, I just put the potato in like I told you? He goes, yeah, put it in the front next time.
Cute.
I knew you'd like that.
Yeah,
one.
No, that's a cute.
Put it in the front next time.
Put it in the front next time. Satan, as you look around the world today, what are you most proud of?
I would say getting the Emmys to include the choreographers in the primetime show.
Wow.
To include the kids. That was me.
Yeah.
And although they didn't go all the way with what I wanted, you know, because also the other thing that was me this year in the Emmys, did you catch the Emmys? They're fantastic.
No, I'm in England.
Huh?
I'm in England.
You're in England.
Yeah.
I love England.
Yeah.
The plug was mine.
Wow.
Yeah. Anyway, Neil Patrick Harris, fantastic performer.
Yeah.
I don't care what, you know, who he's tender with.
Yeah.
Offstage. Anyway, but, you know, the kids, the choreographers, I made that happen. And they didn't go all the way. I suggested that. You know, they also did a tribute to the Kennedy assassination. And I've been trying to get that in the Emmys or in the Spirit Awards.
Yeah.
I've been trying that for years. But I wanted the kids to do kind of a dance. Kind of a wonderful Fosse dance with Elvis moves and everything, but with Jack Ruby coming in and dancing in and killing Harvey Oswald, who might be in, you know, one of those bowler hats Fosse would use, and 1, 2, 3, that, sure. You know.
With it, at the odd angle, at the jazz angle.
Yeah, the odd angle, and the newsmen all going, oh, he shot in the ambulance dancing in.
Yeah.
Maybe he has some kind of ambulance silhouette or something. I'm not a choreographer.
No, you're the devil.
I am double.
Yeah.
Do I sound okay? I'm a little. You know, I've been hungover since the George Soros wedding. I haven't really. I partied a little too hard.
Wow. Now, the devil does, what do you drink, or do you do drugs, or what do you, what, how do you party too hard?
What do you got that's fresh?
Cute. Yeah. Now, what do you, speaking of which, you're depicted so often as just an embodiment of pure evil.
Thank you much.
My pleasure. My pleasure. What do you do for fun?
Oh, gosh, I like the jet ski.
Really?
I'm a cook. Since we spoke last year, I've gotten into cooking. If I go to a hotel, I bring an entire kitchen with me, like Sammy Davis Jr. used to.
Yeah.
Pots and pans.
Wait, you go into hotels?
Sure.
You leave hell.
You gotta get out. You gotta get away. You gotta see what everybody out there is thinking. Have you seen Undercover Boss?
No, I haven't.
Very much like that. Yeah. You know how people say they want to get something back? I'd like to take a little more.
Wow.
Who are you with now? What agency are you with, by the way?
I'm not with an agency.
Huh?
I'm not with an agency.
Oh, okay.
Which explains a lot.
I'm sure is.
Yeah. So do you program American television? Is that... I mean, are you...
I have a package. I have a huge package. And also, I have cable.
Okay.
And I get to... I want the dish, because your reception down here is terrible. You can't get anything.
Why is that? The brimstone?
Well, you're below the earth. You're in hell, Harry.
Yeah.
And as you'll find out, you don't get any. You don't get cell service.
Hey! What do you mean? I'll find.
No! What? No, I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. Now,
you're going to be fine. You're going right up there.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any new technology for tormenting people that you've come up with over the years? Because obviously, fire and brimstone is kind of old-fashioned at this point. It's old school, as the kids say.
That is a cliche. We never had brimstone. We used pumice stones. Fire and pumice stones. But, that doesn't tweak the sensibilities of the press.
Yeah.
The drive-by press.
Yeah.
They wanted brimstones. It's got an R.
Yeah.
It's got a B.
What is brimstone, by the way?
You tell me.
I always thought brimstone was the stone that's made out of old-fashioned instant coffee.
No, I think that's brimstone.
That's brimstone. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Brimstone is where Doc Holliday and I think they all died. Okay, Corral or something. Mm. I don't know. I'm not a history buff.
Yeah. So what are some of the latest techniques you use for tormenting souls?
Well, I'm starting a new website for singles. SellYourSoulMate.com. If people want, maybe, I don't know if you want, I can plug.
Wow.
On your show.
Yeah, sure.
SellYourSoulMate.com. And I want to get in there when people are just falling in love. That's when I like to plant the seeds of evil.
Oh, very clever.
That's a wonderful thing. First of all, I believe marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a circus animal.
Okay.
That's me.
Sounds like you.
Feels like me.
Okay. Speaking of marriage, I don't think I've ever asked you this.
You're married, aren't you, Harry?
I am indeed.
A couple.
Is there a Mrs. Satan, or is there a gleam in Satan's eye at this point?
Well, I'm between marriages now, Harry. I've been out there kind of doing the singles thing for about 20 years now, and it's getting old.
Yeah. As are you.
Well, I had a little work done. I had just the eyes. I went to Nancy Pelosi's guy. Wonderful guy, a Paraguayan.
Yeah, yeah.
Did a lot of work on the Nazis.
Yeah.
So he's good.
Yeah. And he did what to your eyes?
Just looks like I had a wonderful vacation. You wouldn't even know I had any work done. Except they won't close. So it's like I had a wonderful vacation and I don't want to miss a thing. Kind of a look.
I would have thought that your eyes wouldn't close anyway because you might miss some opportunity to torment. I mean, isn't that part of your gig?
Well, we never close down here in hell.
You're like Denny's.
We never hang the old gone fishing sign on hell, which is a country song I'm working on as well.
So, Satan, any other thoughts you have before we wrap this up? Because we do have other things to cover on today's broadcast. It's hard to believe we do.
Well, you're giving Satan the brush. Boy, you are.
No,
you are.
No, I'm just saying.
You got some crust, my friend.
I guess I do, but anything else?
We covered the Soros wedding.
Yes.
That was a frail house, and I'm going to tell you that.
Yeah.
That was wonderful.
We did.
Can I just, I should just phone this into your complaint department. It's not about you. It's about the Emmys again. I hate to bring it back to that.
Yeah.
But I think it was wrong for the NS to be used as a platform for the networks to promote their new fall lineup.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, people can say, I'm wrong. You know, the devil's wrong for doing something believable in the world. But you think the television arts and sciences folks would show a little class? That's all. That's all. I don't want to end this interview with a downer.
No.
I don't want to be Satan downer.
Why wouldn't you want to end it with a downer?
Hey, you're right.
Yeah. See?
You know, this is what I miss talking to you.
Yeah. See, I could take lemonade and turn it back into a lemon for you.
As you could.
Satan, happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you and yours, Harry. Bless your heart and love you. Keep up everything you're doing. You're doing fantastic.
Thank you.
If you need anything, you come to my part of the world. The lamplight is on. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Well,
I'm a little tired.
The whole place is in flames, so I'll see it from a distance, I would imagine.
You sure will,
yeah.
And you're always welcome.
But is that a right thing to do, is to say Happy Halloween, because it's a celebration of death, so I don't know if that's the right usage, but...
You know what? There are no rules. The only rule is there are no rules.
You do have a life coach.
It should, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
You know, it's for the kids.
Yeah.
You know, it's for the kids.
Well, they're tomorrow's leaders.
They're the hope.
And, of course, for you, I guess they're the crop.
They are.
Yeah.
You know, people say there's no place for the young sinners to be bad anymore.
Yeah.
Try hell. Try hell is what I say.
Interesting.
Satan out. Satan out.
Satan out. Thank
you. I brought it back.
You did, indeed. Thanks for the call. Satan on our Newsmaker line today here on the show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the apologies of the week.
So sorry.
San Antonio Spurs guard Tony Parker has apologized for uttering a gay slur, an anti-gay slur actually, during France's overtime victory against Spain in the semifinals of the European basketball tournament. He said in the press conference following the game that France were playing like tapettes, T-A-P-E-T-T-E-S, tapettes, during a first half in which they trailed by double digits. The word translates loosely into fairy. He apologized for the comment at a later press conference. I'd like to apologize to the gay community, he said. I did not want to offend them. If I have offended the gay community, I apologize. That's an if apology, of course. It was not my intention at all. It is not right to say what I said. I'm sorry, and I apologize. France went on to crush Lithuania. The chairman of the Italian pasta company Barilla, Guido Barilla, has apologized on Facebook after remarks he made on a radio program inspired calls from around the world for a boycott of the pasta maker. He said on Facebook, with reference to my statements yesterday to the press, I apologize if my words have offended some people. For clarity, I would like to point out I have the deepest respect for all people without distinction of any kind. I have the utmost respect for homosexuals and freedom of expression. Buddy, in its advertising, has always chosen to represent the family because this is the symbol of hospitality and love for everyone. He had said the previous night on a radio program, I would never do a commercial with a homosexual family. If the gays don't like it, they can go and eat another brand. But now he's sorry. If more than 70 years after it called for the removal of Japanese Canadians from Canada's Pacific coast, Vancouver's city council has officially apologized for its complicity in the forced internment of thousands of former residents. Yes, it happened in Canada, too. In 1942, the city of Vancouver passed the motion imploring the federal government to remove all residents of Japanese racial origin and enemy aliens to areas of Canada well removed from the Pacific coast. On Tuesday of this week, Mayor Gregor Robertson issued a motion apologizing for that motion. Mayor Robertson said the city is considering renaming some of the streets in the old Japanese neighborhood after some of the former residents. About 22,000 Japanese Canadians were banned from the West Coast, despite the fact many were citizens whose families had been living there for generations. They were told to pack a single suitcase and sent to internment camps in the BC interior, British Columbia, where they lived in rough shacks for much of the war. In 1943, all their property, homes, and fishing boats were auctioned off by the government. 25 years ago, the federal government issued an official apology and cash compensation for the survivors. Last year, the state government issued an apology without compensation, because they're just a state. Deadline Tokyo, the pharmaceutical head of Swiss firm Novartis, has apologized to the Japanese public for alleged manipulation of data in trials of its best-selling blood pressure drug Diovan, saying an employee had acted inappropriately. David Epstein made the comments after meeting with Japanese Health Minister Norihisa Tamura. He agreed with the ministry to resolve the issue. We express our deep regret for the concern the issue has brought to patients, to the medical society, as well as the ministry. We're very willing to work with them and take additional actions and potential sanctions, said Epstein. Several Japanese hospitals have stopped offering the drug after two universities retracted papers printed in foreign medical journals on the drug's efficacy. The other three universities that published research on Diovan are still investigating the matter. Epstein said a former Novartis employee who assisted in all five trials had acted in a way beyond what we consider appropriate. And the company had responded by strengthening its training and oversight procedures. Like, don't get caught. From the British newspaper The Evening Standard, in our article, Museum Finally Signs Its Deal to Be Fine and Dandy, we refer to the exhibition of the late Sebastian Horsley's suits at the Museum of London and the Horsley Show and exhibition of his pictures at the Outsiders Gallery. By unfortunate error, we referred to Rachel Garley, the late Sebastian Horsley's girlfriend who arranged the exhibitions, as a prostitute. We accept that Miss Garley is not and has never been a prostitute. We offer our sincere apologies to Miss Garley for the damage to her reputation and the distress and embarrassment she has suffered as a result. That newspaper, by the way, is given away. So what do you want for free? Deadline Tallahassee, Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi is finally speaking about a decision to delay the execution date of a convicted killer. This week, she made her first substantive public comments about the incident since it was revealed the governor had delayed the execution of Marshall Lee Gore because it conflicted with a Bondi campaign fundraiser. She called her decision wrong and apologized. She also vowed it would never happen again. The prisoner will be executed October 1st. A U.S. delegation of the Russian-American Forum for Children Rights Protection in Russia's Siberian city of Khanty-Mansiysk has reportedly apologized to Russian children rights ombudsman Pavel Astakhov for comments recently made by U.S. Senator Mary Landrieu from Louisiana. She criticized Astakhov's support for ban on the adoption of Russian children by U.S. citizens, saying, quote, he's an ass. We've now apologized for that. The head of insurer American International Group has apologized for a poor choice of words this week after coming under fire for equating criticism of bankers' bonuses with the lynching of African-Americans in the Deep South. Outrage over bonuses paid to bankers, he said, was intended to stir public anger to get everybody out there with their pitchforks and their nooses and all that, sort of like what we did in the Deep South decades ago, said Chief Executive Bob Benmosh. His words provoked a sharp reaction. He has now apologized for the remarks. It was a poor choice of words. I never meant to offend anyone by it, he said. And here in the United Kingdom, two supermarket chains have apologized for selling Halloween costumes that offend. Asda has been forced to apologize after it advertised an outfit featuring someone covered in blood and brandishing a machete as a, quote, mental patient fancy dress costume. We'd like to offer our sincere apologies for the offense it's caused. We'll be making a sizable donation to the Mind charity, said Asda. And Tesco has withdrawn an inflatable gay best friend doll from sale and apologized after admitting it is offensive. The webpage should have been removed. We're looking into why it is still visible now. We are very sorry this wasn't followed. Apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to conclude this week's edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide, throughout Europe, the USN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ. on the Mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived, harryshearer.com and kcsn.org, available for your smartphone through stitcher.com, available as a free podcast from iTunes, Sideshow Network, and SoundCloud. And it would be just like the drunks in Oxford being smarter if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you already? Thank you very much. Tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh. Welcome back. Chicago in Exile and Hawaii desks. Thanks as always to Pam Halstead. Satan, created and performed by Tom Leopold. The email address of this broadcast, hey, write to me. And the playlist of the music heard here on, available at harryshearer.com. And I'm at Twitter. Hey, write to me. At the Harry Shearer. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, the flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. So long from